Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. My special guest today is Kyle Davies. Kyle is a psychologist from England, and he's going to join us to talk a little bit about how to reduce stress and anxiety in our lives. Looking forward to a talk with Kyle, and we'll be with him right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey there, have you ever sent me an email? I sure wish you would. Let me know how things are going in your reintegration. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney @yahoo.com. Everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is British psychologist Kyle Davies. Kyle has a book out called The Intelligent Body, Intelligent Body, Recovering Chronic Fatigue and Pain from the Inside Out. Welcome, Kyle.
Thank you very much, Rodney. It's actually great to be here.
Could you give us a little bit of background about yourself? Tell us a little bit about Kyle.
Okay, as you said, I am a psychologist by original trade. I help people develop from the inside out. I help people kind of optimize their well-being and energy levels to combat stress and stress-related symptoms, to get kind of clarity of mind and performance, and to develop a sense of inner resilience and flow. I originally worked in management consulting as a psychologist, moved into therapy. In around 2002, I started working with a doctor in Britain, and we pioneered a new approach for treating chronic fatigue and pain symptoms like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, as well as anxiety, depression, and other stress-related symptoms. And that is what is reflected in my book, The Intelligent Body. That's a very brief summary of okay. where I am and how I've got to be here.
For the purposes of this audience is basically people that have been incarcerated and they're trying to get themselves together as they reintegrate. And what I would really like to focus on with you today is what you have to say about stress. Stress is amazingly high as you come out of prison and you begin to try to put the pieces of your life back together. It is a tough row to hoe. And we have a lot of discussions about stress here, and we'd like to get your ideas on it. First of all, one of the things I noticed that you mentioned is that stress and emotions cause disease. I think this is something we've known for a while, right? But talk to us a little bit about that.
I could give you a sort of a slightly different perspective on stress. I can give you several different perspectives
okay.
on stress.
Do that.
Let me start with it, because you started talking about the fact that people are coming out and getting back into normal life are experiencing a high degree of stress. Here's the focus of what I'm going to say is to try to give people a slightly different experience and to make them kind of feel a bit better. For the most part, this is how we view life. We think that life outside of us directly causes how we feel. And as a result of that, we tend to fixate on frantically trying to fix our environment and fix life in order to change how we feel. So what often happens is that we're quite fearful of the feeling experience that we have. And there's kind of two reasons. One is that because we think that what we feel is who we are, And the other thing is that people often believe they're going to drown in their feelings. So we have this natural, almost like an instinct, to resist the feelings that we have. Now, I would suggest that it's not that life directly causes how we feel. So feelings are not triggered as such. They are created inside of us. But it's a much more useful space to be if you can, rather than immediately resisting any uncomfortable feelings, is know that actually my feelings are just part of my experience. It's not really who I am. It's not kind of my true self. It's not the totality of me. They're just part of an experience that I'm having. And they are, you know, they flow, and they're likely to kind of, they can flow through me if I let myself experience them. So it's not that I'm going to drown in them, and it's not that I have to find meaning in them. In fact, I don't have to solve them or resolve them. All I have to let myself do is feel them. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens is that when we can be in that space, we're not frantically trying to get away from uncomfortable feelings. And this is the biggest thing. People often think that stress is an uncomfortable feeling that they have. And most of the time, the majority of people's behavior is to try to get away from their discomfort. Or it's a manifestation of an internal uncomfortable feeling state. So if people are outwardly aggressive, that usually is a manifestation of a deep-seated internal fear. If they just let themselves, you know, if they just let themselves feel the fear or the anger or the hurt, and just if they, from that space that, well, I can feel it, it doesn't mean anything about me, I can just let it be there. What you find is that the feeling will just flow. Now, it may be that the feeling is a nudge to take some action, because our emotional feelings are sometimes doing that. They're sometimes giving us a tap on the shoulder, inviting us to take some constructive action in life. But ultimately, they're inviting us to act from our core, so from our true self, if that makes sense. And because if we can entertain this idea that, well, it's not that they're triggered by outside life, it's that they arise within me and they're a tap on the shoulder inviting me to either feel them, or to maybe act in alignment with my deeper sense of self, because we've all got that deeper sense of self. So I'm trying to give a different perspective of kind of stress, really, because, as I say, most people think stress is that nervous, agitated feeling. And for the most part, a huge amount of people's behavior and where things go wrong in people's lives is they're trying to escape the uncomfortable feelings that they have, or they're trying to resolve them. And I think that, to a certain extent, I believe that a mastery of life, to a certain extent, comes from allowing ourselves to tolerate and breathe through and feel and just allow to flow through the uncomfortable feelings that we have, because they do go. And I think that's the crucial thing. As long as we don't get stuck in thinking, because that's what often happens, is that emotion and feelings arise in the body, and then we start thinking. Our thinking kind of ramps up. And what we want to do really is stay in the body. So a lot of my work is about getting people to get back into their body, to breathe, to keep breathing as they're feeling whatever uncomfortable feelings they're having. Allow those feelings to be there. And what you find is that behavior naturally kind of improves. But also there's that not, you don't feel, you know, that you're overwhelmed by negative feelings, or even if there is a period where you are, as long as you stay present, just stay with the feeling, breathe, let it be there, and then continue doing what you're doing, they don't have that power over you. Most of the power that negative or uncomfortable feelings have is that we jump into our head, we jump into the future, we're frantically trying to analyze, resolve, find meaning, or, you know, so in some way solve the feeling, and then we end up usually acting in a destructive way, both for us and our and others, which is just obviously not helpful. So I just wanted to give that different perspective on stress, because the majority of people will say that, well, stress is something outside in your life. And of course, I'm not, you know, we're all influenced by life, so I'm not suggesting that you know, we're not affected by life, because obviously we are. But what I'm suggesting is just take a bit of a step back and look at this idea of, it's not necessarily that life is directly causing how I feel. My feelings are arising inside of me. And yeah, I want to move towards something in my life that's positive for me, that I might enjoy doing, or I can express myself in a way that is useful for me. But I don't have to get caught in that trying to fix life in order to fix my feelings. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know, what I find, you know, I'm just speaking personally here, that to me, stress is just an overwhelming feeling of frustration. I can't seem to get to point B from where I'm at here at point A. And that's where stress, I think that's what a lot of people feel who are trying to reintegrate after a long period of incarceration. But I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. We need to deal with the feelings and just kind of let them be there. And I think what I hear you saying is that this too shall pass, correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
So what, sorry?
I think what I'm hearing you say is that if we deal with the feelings, that we just let them be, that yeah, this too shall pass, as I was just saying. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, it's essentially. Is that, you know, I think we have a natural tendency. I think the kind of the deeper sense of self, a true self, a soul, whatever you would want to call it, is something that is generally kind of feels good, is kind of expansive, is feels connected. Mm-hmm. And we've all got that within us. And what happens is we tend to get bogged down with uncomfortable feelings. And usually what happens is, and this is the kind of irony, is the more we try to fix our feelings and fix life, the worse we feel. So that's mm-hmm. the kind of idea of, you know, just let your feelings be. There is a slightly different point, because you also asked the question about the connection between stress and disease.
Right.
Now there's a slightly different point there, because we're talking about the sort of stress you're talking about there, as you talk about a kind of a frustration. I would call that an emotion. Now, stress, arguably, from an academic perspective, stress is an objective set of biochemical events that takes place in the body. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of key points, I suppose, is that a body or a person's body can be in a state of stress without them being aware of it. So, you know, the more kind of academic or health perspective on stress is that it's not a feeling or a set of feelings as such. It's a response or a mode of the body. So it could be measured, you know, with elevated heart rate,
right,
blood pressure,
right,
these sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is important to know, when it comes to the connection between stress and disease, normally what happens is that a person's body is in a state of stress and they are not aware of it. And this often happens because we tune out of our body. And that's, again, why a big part of my work is helping people to reconnect with their body, their physical body and their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. The other thing about stress is that it's not a mental thing, you know, so say it's something that affects the body. But the stress response in the body can be triggered in exactly the same way, regardless of whether you have some form of emotional buildup or trauma, a physical illness, such
right,
as a bad case of flu, or a physical injury. You know, you could have a car accident, you could have surgery. These things they all trigger the exact same stress response. Also, if you have a very bad diet, if you're taking a lot of drugs, if you're not sleeping,
okay,
all of these things will trigger the body's stress response in exactly the same way. So essentially what can happen is that you have a number of stresses. So the simple way I like to look at it and the way I talk about it in the book is I say that it's almost like we've got a stress bucket inside of us. And when that stress bucket gets full with all the things that we're kind of doing, then it kind of bubbles over and leads to symptoms. And those symptoms can be anything from anxiety, depression, chronic fatigue and pain, stomach mm-hmm. upset, you know, insomnia, mm-hmm. these sorts of things.
Let's talk about depression for a second. But first, I'm glad you cleared that up. So stress is a physiological response or condition, where it, as where I was talking about being frustrated and that sort of thing, I was not really saying what that is correctly. That's more of an emotion than it is stress. But stress, the physiological response can come from those emotions, right?
Yeah, so it could be that you have some experiences during your day, and your body's response is to send the emotion of frustration, and you let yourself feel that, and then you do whatever you do in response to that. You take some action. Now, it may be that, you know, because you feel the emotion, you take some constructive action. Your body does not trigger the stress response. It could also be that you try to bury that emotion. And in the act of trying to push that emotion down and bury it and not feel it, that could trigger your body's stress response.
Let me ask you this. I think I'm going to kind of pull a surprise question on you here, just your opinion. I would like to know, do you think that a long period of incarceration can cause PTSD and cause someone to experience these negative types of emotions which trigger the stress after their release from prison?
It's kind of a good question, really. I guess that it probably could. Now, I would have to admit that I'm not up to date with the statistics, but my understanding of it is that when people leave incarceration and move into gainful employment and do something different from what they did before, their chances of reoffending are reasonably low. So I think it's potentially possible that PTSD type symptoms could arise, but here's my kind of, it might be controversial perspective on that. I think when we kind of have our needs met, and I think that we have a need for connection. We have a need for a sense of purpose. We have a need for a sense of meaning and direction in our lives. Mm-hmm. I think that what happens is that just like when we have a physical injury, our emotional system will correct itself as well. So just like, you know, if you break a leg, your body will naturally heal itself. If you have some emotional wounds or scars, they will heal given the right environment. So what we know with a broken leg is that if you keep walking on it, you're not creating an environment that it will heal. This is why if you break your leg, a doctor will put a cast on it to isolate it so that, you know, the body can heal itself. I think the same is true with our emotional system. And if a person is, if they came out of incarceration and they were connected to a community, if they had a sense of purpose in their lives, maybe that purpose involved contributing to the community, you know, if they had a sense of meaning and direction, my guess is that, yeah, they it could be that they have some PTSD-like symptoms, but I think that as part of the healing process, those would go, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So what you know, obviously, is if you break your leg, it heals, but it feels weird for a while, doesn't it? If you walk on it, mm-hmm. it hurts a bit, but you know that it's healing. Now, I think part of emotional healing is you can have fluctuating emotions. So if you go through trauma, you could experience periods of sadness, of anger, of anxiety, and these will come and go. But if you treat them in exactly the same way as you would do with your leg hurting a bit as you begin to walk on it again, you know, well, oh, it's going to do this because this is what happens after you've broken your leg. If you know, well, I've had trauma, so my emotions are going to, as my emotional system resets itself, I'm going to experience big emotions that may seem to come out of nowhere. As long as I just leave them be, they will process and they'll move through me. I think what happens is people respond to the emotions. They kind of act out with the emotions, or they try to get rid of them, or they think they have a problem when maybe they actually don't have a problem. It could well be that the emotional system is resetting itself. Does that make sense?
It does, and it's very interesting as well. Kyle, we haven't even gotten to half the things I wanted to ask you about, but we're running up against time here. Now, I real quickly want to mention your podcast. You have a podcast called Unleashing potentials, correct? And how do we find that?
You can find that on my website, which is kyledavies.net. I actually have two websites. I have another one, which is energyflowcoaching.com. So the kind of name of my work is Energy Flow Coaching.
Mm-hmm. And your book, how do we get a hold of it?
My book, The Intelligent Body, Reversing Chronic Fatigue and Pain from the Inside Out, is available all good retailers. I think the best price you get from it is Amazon, but you can get it on Barnes & Noble and probably high street retailers as well. It's available in hardback, on Kindle, and on audiobook.
Perfect. Kyle, I wish we had more time. Maybe we'll get you back on here. There were a lot more things I wanted to talk to you about. I appreciate you coming on the show today so much.
Well, it's been a pleasure. I hope what I've said makes some sense and is of some use.
Thank you, Kyle. I'm sure that it will be. Kyle Davies on my show today. Kyle, thank you, and we'll be right back after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Got an idea for a show? Know someone you think would be a good guest? You can always forward it on to me and I'll take a look at it. I'd also like to know how you're doing. You can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney @yahoo.com. I'd like to thank my special guest, Kyle Davies, calling all the way from Wales today. And I think there was some good information in that little discussion. I want you to remember that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.